First Thessalonians, chapter 5. It says, "But the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." Turn back again, if you will, to that 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." Now, Paul is speaking here to the church of the Thessalonians. In the first chapter, verse 1, he says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians." And he says that this church of the Thessalonians is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. And we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." In this 9th verse, then, of the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the great end which the supreme God intended in the salvation of sinners, his primary reason for their salvation is for his glory, for the glory of his wonderful name. glory of God. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. So God, we can say, hath appointed us to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, He has chosen us through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Now the person, or the purpose, the intention of God Almighty in election is immutable. That is, there can be no change. It's without change, immutable. God does not change, and His election does not change. He says, "My counsel shall stand. I will do all of my purpose." He says, "What his soul desireth, that he doeth." He says, "Who hath resisted his will, that the purpose of God according to election might stand?" This election is infallibly connected with eternal happiness as it appears in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Turn there with me, if you will. Romans, chapter 8. And verse 30. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now, I'm talking about the salvation of sinners. And the object of all of this is for the glory of God. Now, there's a lot of folks that have some idea of what the Lord Jesus did, but they're fearful that they may lose that. That God may revoke the comfort and blessing and the consciousness of His salvation in Christ. And the apostle here says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. And whom He called, them He justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." And then He says this, all of this being true, what shall we say to these things? To predestination, to the calling, to the justification, and to the glorification, these things. What shall we say to these things? Well, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now that ought to settle the question. If God is for us, who can be against us? So those who are quickened and born of the Spirit of God, they're as sure of heaven as if they had already been there for 10,000 years. God will not go back on His Word. His election of grace is immutable. It will not change. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, this great doctrine of God's sovereign election is necessary for our help in this life. It's to promote in us a humility and destroy that proud spirit that we have by nature. It's for God's glory, and it's for our comfort. Now, let me talk to you in light of what I've said, in light of what I read. Let me talk to you for a few minutes here about the glory of God. God is essentially in Himself, full of glory, and needs nothing to make Him glorious in holiness. He is essentially glory, and He always will be the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is as big as I am small. It's as infinite as I am finite. It is eternal as I am temporal. The glory of God. It's as spiritual as I am fleshly. The glory of God. It is incomprehensible as I am ignorant. The glory of God. It is the exercise and the display of what constitutes the distinctive excellence of the subject of which it's spoken. That's the glory of God. It's the outshining of who He is and what He is. That's the glory of God. Of who He is and what He is and what He does and what He's like. They tell me that the glory of a king is his crown. He's the only one in his kingdom that has a crown. There's just one crown, and that belongs to the king. And there's just one crown, real crown, and that belongs to the King of Kings. And that's His glory, that He has this crown, and none of His subjects have that crown. He has that crown. He's the only one that's got one in that kingdom. Now, the glory of the victor is His trophy. I see every once in a while in the paper there where they have a 5-mile race and a 5K race, they call it, and 10K, and there's hundreds of participants, young and old, and they all run that race. And I know over there in Fairmont Avenue or Virginia Avenue, they come across that bridge and go up Virginia Avenue. And it, as you start in Virginia Avenue, there's a hill like that. It goes right down. And then there's another one. And it goes right down. And they say that's the hardest part of that race. And they all run that race, doing their very best. But there's only one that gets a trophy. It's the one that finishes first in that race. Our Lord Jesus Christ has the trophy. The glory of God is what He has that nobody else has. That's the glory of God. Think of that a little bit. What He has that no one else has. That's the glory of God. And I told you that this election business in the Bible is true. It is absolutely true that God has elected a people. We call it elective grace. We owe everything. Now, I'm not setting aside the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, say, apart from that, or alongside that, it's elective grace that's got us where we are at this moment. The elective grace of Almighty God that was given us in Him before the foundation of the world. Well, His glory then is that which sets Him apart from everybody else. He's the only sovereign ruler. Just one. And that's the King. And that's His glory. There's just one Creator that has created all the seen and unseen. Just one. And that's His glory. Well, His glory is that which sets Him apart from everybody else. But some say, well, how can I find that out? Well, you can't find it out by going to the library. You can't learn anything of the glory of God by reading the dictionary. You can go through all the books of the college library and you can't find anything out about the glory of God. The only way that you'll ever find out anything about the glory of God, it'll have to be revealed to you. There's no other way. Moses said unto God, show me thy glory. And God said, all right. He said, this is my glory. He said, I'll harden some and I'll enlighten some. I'll hardeneth whom I will. And that's God's glory. You can't learn that in the library. It has to be revealed. Well, let me read that. I think in Exodus chapter 33, I believe. Maybe. No, that's not it. I don't think. Yes. Verse 17. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. And he said, that's Moses. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I will make all my goodness to pass over thee. All my goodness pass over thee. Pass before thee, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now you remember You remember what Moses asked for. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Well, this is my glory, he said. I will make my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That's the glory of God. God must make himself known. Job said, can we by searching find out God? No. You can't find out God by searching. You can only find out who God is by revelation. The scriptures say, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever he reveal himself to. The glory of Almighty God. That's a big subject, isn't it? We'll go back there to that verse, Thessalonians. Chapter 5, I believe I said. Verse 9. This is for the glory of God. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Whatever the outcome is, whether we are awake or whether we sleep, we should live together with the Lord Jesus. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, disorderly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, which also will do it. brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Well, what can we say? Nothing we can say. Nothing we can add to it. I mean, it's all. I was wondering, and I was coming up here, I had the radio on in my car, and I was listening to some radio talk show, and the big question was about the Episcopalian Church up in Vermont, that they needed a bishop. And the other bishops got together and chose this one bishop to be the bishop of that diocese, whether it was Vermont and part of New Hampshire, I don't know, but I know it was Vermont. And all these bishops knew that this bishop, or this reverend so-called, was going to be the next bishop of that area there. They knew that he is a homosexual. And they gloried in that fact, that he is a homosexual. They didn't see anything the matter with it. Didn't see a thing wrong with the fella that was supposed to be the spiritual leader of the flock, that he was a homosexual. In light of what has taken place in the Roman Catholic Church, there may be thousands of pedophiles and homosexuals in the Episcopalian Church and in the Roman Catholic Church, and no one except you and I believes it's wrong. The educated people, the leaders, no one speaks out against it. Why is that? No one has a word to say about it. You'd think that some of these fellows and these preachers that have big television audiences and big churches, you'd think they'd come out and say, well, that's wrong. The Bible does not teach that. As a matter of fact, over here in the, where it's about the first chapter of the book of Romans, or the second chapter, let me read this while I'm thinking about it. It says that these people change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You mean to tell me that there's not a Roman Catholic priest? There's not a television evangelist that is afraid to read what I read here on public television and lambast these deceivers who run around in their long coats and funny hats? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers, and backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of all things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God help the United States of America. How far are we going to go? Homosexuals. Approved by the churches. Well, I don't know. Looks bad to me. Let's stand, we'll go home.